beginning of time, our very humanity has been based on connecting at the cellular level. Today, connecting on a cellular level has taken on a different meaning.
We're back, and welcome back to the Know Up for Life podcast here, and I'm Joni Ciani, and we have students from Manhattanville College, or my former students that were in our interpersonal communications class. Again, I've been doing the Know Up for Life challenge now for 8 years, and just a reminder, it's not about going without, it's about going within. I've been addressing the issues of the first digitally socialized generation. I know we got a little heavy in the last segment there, but you have been shaped in a way that no other generation has been shaped. We are now seeing the longitudinal studies, the 10-year studies, between the time when you were 11, 12, 13 to the time that you're now 20, 21, 22. So you have been shaped in a way that has had an impact on you. We're now seeing these studies that we're having a loneliness epidemic and self-esteem issues and not building friendships the way other generations did. And all of this is having an impact and the anxiety levels through the roof. And I think it's, we just wanted to have this this podcast to take the time to turn this into the deeper conversation that we found in our class that is not getting out there enough. And it's better when it's coming from you. So when you're explaining that it's a real thing, that self-esteem, as Stephen, you were just saying in the last segment, you've seen friends suffer from a lack of self-esteem. That's what happens when your personal validity is measured by likes. You know, that's got to mess with your head. These are kind of the conversations that we had leading up to the Know Up for Life challenge. I wasn't sure, again, whether or not you guys were going to be okay with it because everyone was relying more on social media to stay connected. But what we were talking about was being connected is an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more important now than ever to work on our interpersonal communication skills to connect on a deeper level. And we had 25 students who did this, and everyone had a different experience. And so I'll just ask you guys, what was your... So part of the challenge, I just wanted to remind, if you're not familiar with it, it's very much about journaling. And so you have these prompting questions, and we put these new goals, like let's stop talking about expectations, let's focus on just 3 goals during this crazy pandemic time. My new thing right now is what I'm telling my students and everyone in my life. I'm like, we're lowering the expectations. You have one job to do this year. Don't get a virus. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the one thing that you need to do. You know what? Next year, we can work on your career. But just that, you've got one thing to do. Don't get sick. Mm-hmm. So lowering the expectations. So you all went for it. And who wants to jump in with your experience, Tessa?
I think my experience was definitely different than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was either going to be super easy and the week was going to fly by, or that it was going to be extremely difficult and I wasn't going to be able to do it and then I was going to give up. It was definitely in the middle. I think the first 2 days went by okay. And I started, me and my family, we had game nights, and without our phones, we turned them off. We turned them all off and put them away at dinner. And I started calling people. I called, one of my friends from home, and like we reconnected after like a year of not talking. Wow. So it definitely felt good.
Was the challenge a good excuse to have to pick up the phone?
Yes. It definitely gave me something to start the conversation. Like, oh, I'm calling because I have this project going on. And then after a few conversations later with her, she was like, no, it was so surprising when you called because I'm not used to getting like actual calls. And she like wasn't going to answer it. And then she was going to text me and she was like, no, I'll answer. So it was definitely, yeah, like hearing somebody who definitely, she's on her phone like all the time. And so like explaining it to her, she was like, wait, that's so interesting. Like, I kind of want to try a little version of it. So yeah, it was definitely, but then by Wednesday was not good. I definitely took a few steps back and I was like, oh, I'm feeling kind of lonely. So, but then after Wednesday, I was like, nope, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. Even if I had like a few steps back, I was like, no, I'm just going to keep going. Mm. By the end of the challenge, I like realized how less dependent I was on my phone. And I was able to go like a whole day noticing all the notifications like piling up and like I wasn't as anxious or like eager to answer them. And I even noticed that like now. So it was definitely very eye-opening for me.
You turned into a badass.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is pretty tough. If you can look at a phone and having a flashing notification mm-hmm. and look at it and go, I don't need you.
Yeah.
You just flash away. It's empowering, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'll go because I work in like the first half of the day. And so all these notifications just keep coming. And then I thought like, oh, after my workday, I'll just open them all up and like go through my email, my texts, Snapchats. But I found myself just not wanting to. And so I'll just put it away after work. And like, if I need to, if it's an emergency text, then I'll go ahead and answer it. But
could you have ever imagined that?
No. I was somebody who was so anxious looking at an unopened notification. Like I had to answer it right then. What if it was an emergency? The world is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely opened me up to being less anxious.
Yeah.
And about being like needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's sometimes I think we learn, you know, listening to everybody's reaction. Is some people really kind of struggled. Some people said, I couldn't go. I had to cheat. But I think sometimes the fact that we're going, you can not do this anytime you want. You can stop anytime. You're not being graded on whether you get through it at the end. Mm-hmm. It's about what are you learning about yourself. But it's so funny to hear the inherent motivation like, no, you won't get me. You won't take over my life. Mm-hmm. You don't own me, phone. Steven, what was your...
I didn't even know, that I think. Like, I was literally...
That's the end of the sentence?
I was literally listening to myself think. Like, that was the first time I've ever done that. And it's kind of fulfilling because... I can't remember a lot of the things that I thought about, but like it brings you to a place of like
serenity.
Help me out. Yes, thank you. Yes, it brings you to a place of serenity, and a lot of times those thoughts would go into scrolling and Instagram and Facebook.
To get away from the thought? To stop the thought or?
Yeah, like I was completely, I only probably used social media like twice the whole time. And that was, and once I knew I was on it, like it was like a 30 second, oh, I'm on Instagram or I'm on, let me get off. So during that time, I sort of like trained myself to know that these thoughts were instead of me listening to these thoughts were like gone, but I was using that time for like social media and stuff. So once I knew that, I continued to transition into listening to myself think and like appreciating conversations with other people more often. I think one of the cooler things that happened was I got out of bed like within 30 seconds because there's nothing to, we didn't sleep with our phones. I got out of bed in 30 seconds. There's nothing to scroll at. There's nothing to like stop your mind from getting up. I literally got out of bed 30 seconds every single day. It was like the best thing ever.
Especially during the quarantine because people were like very depressed and unmotivated and it was real easy, you know, to just lay there and go like, nope, the world sucks. I'm just going to do this, you know. And that was a big common denominator. I think out of the 25 students, I was going through everybody's reports and stuff. Everybody was saying the same thing. I got out of bed. I got into a routine. I did something. Miss over here, I sat in bed and listened to my music or your coffee. Would you like to tell us about your morning ritual?
My morning routine? Well, yeah, because I would get up, go downstairs, get my cup of coffee, as everyone in my family usually did in the morning, and I would just go back up and just chill in bed with absolutely nothing, like just me and my thoughts. There was one morning I looked out the window, pretty sure. I was like, ooh, like, are we getting flurries? Because at this point, it's New England in April, so anything goes at that point. Yeah. And so it was just me and my thoughts, and I got to appreciate that a bit more without having to just scroll, because I find that's what I would do in the morning. I would wake up, my alarm would go off. You would set it probably about 10 minutes earlier than you actually want to get out of bed, so that way you leave your scrolling time in. Don't know if everyone else does that, but yeah. I certainly do or did. Yeah. And I'll sit there and scroll. But then when I had to put it away, I was like, okay, let's go down and get the coffee, because I look forward to my morning cup of coffee. Like, that's what I look forward to. I'm like, oh, can't we just set my alarm, go downstairs, get my coffee, and then just go back up and hang in bed for just like whatever I need it to be. Because I like to prepare for my day by relaxing in the morning.
Routine is very, very, very important, especially during this crazy pandemic when everyone's upside down and we're like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's not like I've got to get in my car and drive because I've got a 2-hour commute to get somewhere. You're like, mm-hmm. All right, my commute is down 20 steps. I'm here. You know, it's kind of weird. Everyone's adjusting. So I've been hearing a lot of these similarities over the years. And Tessa, you were telling me that how do you explain this experience that you've had to other people and what are their reactions?
I definitely start off by saying like, oh, I had to go a week without social media and texting. And then I quickly follow that up with it's not as hard or as scary or intimidating as you think. And a lot of my friends, I had a conversation with them. I was like, no, like, it's really not that bad. And they're like, that's crazy. I would never do that. Like, I have no problem. And I was like, that's what everyone says. Everybody thinks that, oh, they don't have a problem. They can stop whenever they want. And it's like, well, if you don't have a problem, then try it. What's the harm then? So one of my friends actually, she was like, oh, I think you might be right. Like a week later, she was like, I think you're on something here. And I was like, I know, this is what I'm telling you. And so one of the key things that I told them was that it's not about like, oh, all technology is evil. It's just about noticing how you use it and like when you use it and how it's affecting your relationships and what you're missing. Or like what you're not getting from them. So it definitely, like, it took a while, but some of them came around to it.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's all I've been saying all these years. Every time I start, I even just start to explain what I'm trying to do. You know how I'm greeted. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, she's so stupid. She's so stupid. She doesn't get it. Right? Steven's laughing, right? Go ahead. What was your first impression? Same thing?
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is a very interesting professor. She's bold. These are bold proclamations, bold statements. That's why I cling to you.
Because you did not have to take the second class. Stephen was
in the intro class,
and then he showed up in the interpersonal. I'm like, you know what you're getting into. And you chose to do this. So that's when he entered and saw the room of 20 women in a circle. We're like, come into our web. But there's nothing that I'm saying that isn't somewhere in the back of your head, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not like, oh my God, you've... Like, I remember one time I was, and this was literally 8 years ago, about 8 years ago, and I remember I was kind of talking through some of the chapters in the book that I was writing about, you know, saying the exact same thing, and this kid literally slammed his hand down on the desk, and he goes, exactly, exactly. I'm like, and he goes, that's what's been dancing in my head. I just have never been able to say it, you know? And I thought that was interesting. I'm like, okay, am I correct? Because I don't know. The rest of the world is telling me I don't know what I'm talking about here, you know? And so just throwing some of those things out there, right? Like, you've thought about these, you or questioned it and maybe just didn't know how to put it into the right words.
I feel like you also validated it. Like, oh, like, this adult who seems to have life figured out is validating our feelings and thoughts right now that I wasn't sure if I could actually, like, put out there. And you were like, no, like, this is legit. And we're like, oh, so I'm not crazy and I'm not a bad, like, are we millennials or Gen Z? I lost track. But, like, we're not a bad generation, or I'm not going against my generation for thinking this.
Right, right. And that's, I think that's, you know, I'm so glad you guys are doing the podcast, honestly, because it's just about elevating this conversation and allowing it to come from you. You know, I'm just the conduit of think about this and say and go ahead, be okay saying how you're feeling, but coming from you, speaking in a peer-to-peer narrative, talking to it, just exactly what you did, Tessa. You know, you being able to talk to your friends, maybe that girl that was saying it was like, now she's thinking about it, you know? So you lasted through the challenge. And again, it's, you know, these devices and social media, we have to start saying that they were made in a very manipulative way. It was a big profit.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know? And I'll ask you, again, sometimes I want to say things, but I'd rather just ask you, do you feel that you have been taken advantage of by an industry that was profit-driven?
Short answer, yes.
Yes.
Power-hungry, money-hungry, monopolizers is a fair way to categorize them, I think.
Tessa?
Yeah, I feel just as Erica and Stephen feel, yes, the short answer. Like the fact that in a way part of growing up was almost, I don't want to be like taken away, but it sort of was almost taken away. The fact that, oh, my parents had this experience. They're always like, well, back in my day, well, it's like, yeah, I wish I had that, but instead I have this thing that is kind of controlling me right now. And I don't know how to get out of it because the older generation doesn't know either. So it's definitely almost like a little part of like childhood and growing up is like missing, and like some of the skills, like answering the phone, are definitely felt like that was missing.
That's really interesting to put it in that you literally are saying it robbed you of your childhood and developing in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you think other people would agree with you? Because that's a pretty bold. She's bolder than I am, Stephen.
Yeah.
I'm allowing your boldness to come through.
I see it in one of my friends. She is still 21 years old. She is still concerned about how many likes she gets on Instagram, like still like, oh my gosh, I only have 150 likes. Like, why aren't I getting more? I should be getting in 300 and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know how to tell you that it doesn't matter without shattering your world. Like, it still baffles me because I remember when she first said it, we were in like seventh grade. She's like, I only have 50 likes. I was like, oh, should I be concerned? That's when I started being concerned about likes on my pictures, on Instagram, on my posts. And then in high school, like junior year, I was like, it doesn't matter. Mm. It literally doesn't matter on how many likes, but she's still like to this day. So I feel like in that sense, it's robbed her of her self-esteem being on a deeper level, but like she's not content in her offline self,
her being her yeah. most authentic self. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what you were saying before, Stephen. You literally have seen friends of yours be affected by a self-esteem issue. And yeah. Erica, the theme of your, you told the story earlier, but just your theme was in social media, nobody cares.
No one cares. No one cares. I was like looking on my Instagram the other day. I made like a birthday post to my friend just for her. And I forget that people could like it. Like I hit a point that I was like, I was getting a notification. I go, why? I was like, oh, because I did like make her an Instagram. Like I sent her a birthday card. I like gave her the whole nine yards, but I also gave her a birthday post on Instagram. And I forgot, but I forgot that people could like it. And I was like, oh, like I don't care if you like this. That's great. Thank you, I guess. But like prior to that, like the last time I posted something was like beginning of June or something like that. I was like, because no one cares if I'm on here or not. Like it's not like they're not weighing on the edge of their seat seeing if I'm going to post something.
And see, that's the other thing that I was curious about. How are we shaping a population where everybody is so self-absorbed with, I think everyone is just waiting to hear from me. Like, I think the world is just on the edge of their seat. You know, but in your head, how many times have you're like, I better put this up there because, you know, I haven't said anything for a while. And it's like delusional, I'm sorry, to literally be thinking that anyone is literally like, I'm hanging in my pool, but what am I going to do if I don't see a post from Erica? Yeah, everybody's got their own life, but that's got to be a weird shaping thing.
I sit there and I'm like, do you really think I like sit here and like your opinion matters to me? Like, unless like my, even like celebrities, like they like can use like social media obviously as a platform to promote this, that, and the third and like all these issues and address them, which is like, that's like a good positive social media. You're able to get things out quickly and vastly, especially if they're important issues like regarding like the world and politics, social justice, this, that, and the third.
Right.
That's
and
like
if
a
I,
good,
right.
good thing.
But if
it.
We can literally make that distinction, that is also good on television. True. It's a tool of mass communication,
yeah.
right? So
that's valid.
People are like, oh, social media, you can get the word out. Yes, we used to do these things called public service announcements where we would get things out. And guess what? There was this thing called the Million Man March on Washington before social media. And I think it's very funny that people are like, well, how would anyone know? Mm. I don't know. How did they all end up marching in Washington? How did they find out before the days of social media, you know? Like, no one will ever know if we don't post it. And those are tools of mass communication. That's the digital distinction. That's an announcement mm-hmm. for millions. Yeah. What is not are the thoughts that are dancing through your head.
Yeah.
That there's no need for stream of consciousness. If you want to write an article, give it thought, back up your facts, write a blog, give it all sorts of thought, mm-hmm. and then use this tool of social media to then disseminate this well-thought-out piece of brilliance that you have. Great. But it's this sort of stream of consciousness. I just had a thought, or I just, ooh, you're pissing me off. Oh, you know, I mean, that is just it's just not the right tool.
No.
So what's Twitter? That's what Twitter's for.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
And we used to have this thing that you couldn't lie on tools of mass communication because they threw you off. But we'll see. We'll see what happens now. So you guys all survived the challenge.
Very much so.
And I'm hearing these empowering things, and maybe you went back, you know, but you seem, what I'm hearing now is you're going back, but with this different level of empowerment. It doesn't own you now. You're more mindful, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So how have your lives changed in the past couple of months here? Because the world is stupid right now. It's just stupid. But my whole thing right now is and Stephen and I want you to tell me a little bit about what you're doing with your brother and your father, because I was brought to tears, literally, like, my work here is done. I'm good. This is such an important time during this pandemic, is to think about quality over quantity. If you want the feeling of connection, it's got to be more personal right now. This is the thing that's going to change and stave off some of those feelings of depression, is to connect on a deeper level, right? During this time, the phone calls are so much more important than just posting things. We've got to get back to really appreciating how beneficial it is to your health and well-being when you have somebody in your world. You only need one or two that you can be 100% honest with and revealing, because that's going to help you. And Stephen, you want to tell me what you were doing with your family, how you took these skills?
So we started a book club with it's my two brothers and my dad, and we're reading a book called Cry Like a Man. So in the book club, in the book, it talks about how the personification of a man is supposed to be someone who is solid and someone who objectifies women, just the emotional weight of being a man, basically. And Jason Wilson is the author. He talks about breaking a lot of the barriers and stereotypes of being a man. And the reason why I wanted to, like, thought it would be a good idea to start the book club is because I just wanted to, like, make my connection with my father better. And what better way to do that with a book club plus my interpersonal skills? So you combine those two, and that equals better relationship with father. And that's what has come about within the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm. See, look at Erica's face. No, it's
snaps.
You mentioned, because you were asking, we were on the, Steve and I were on the phone, and you were like, well, what do you want to, asking me, like, well, don't you want people to know about, like, what you're doing? And I'm like, but there was something that you said, and your father said to you, like, I've been thinking about this all week, and I said, how do you feel about that? Tell that.
I remember what you're saying. So he said, I forget what I said, but it was very, it was a deep statement. And after the discussion, our next discussion, he said, I've just been thinking about what you guys said for like the whole week. And I'm like, our level of the words we said to you has had an impact enough that you ponder on what we've been saying for a whole week. So once I heard him say that, I knew there was something powerful about what we were doing.
Because everybody needs to be understood. and heard. So when your father so when your father says there was something you said to me that made me think, that goes right to you going, my father is hearing me. Yeah. My father's hearing me. He's hearing what I'm saying. Not only is he hearing me, he's giving it thought and time over something I said. And as you just said, how powerful is that in regard to relationships?
Yeah.
Right? And we're not, that's what we're not doing enough of, I think, today. And that was so great. I'm so glad you're doing that. I want to follow up on you on that. You met this kid beginning of January who's throwing a phone and literally talking about you guys being crazy too. What is your reaction?
I definitely am shocked because from where we first encountered Stephen, I was like, oh, it's just another man. honestly, I was like, just another man. Not gonna listen.
One of those.
Not gonna change. And like hearing what you're doing now, it's just like, wow, I never thought. So it just definitely changes my perspective. Like, oh, maybe men can listen to what we have to say and like to what, just different perspectives. So, wow.
Eric. I'm not surprised you kind of went through this evolution in a sense, because I saw it throughout class because first week you dropped that bomb of you guys are crazy. And I was like, oh, good God, so help us, Jesus. But then halfway through you were like, all right. So I called a group of friends that was a mix of guys and girls. Guys, is that fine?
I remember that.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I got this. I go, yeah, you're cool. That's fine. I go, if you want to call a general group of people guys, I'm just saying, just don't generalize like a very loaded statement saying you guys are all crazy, because it just takes one person to prove you wrong.
That is so funny.
Easily offend people. But even throughout class, you just kind of drop these like Yoda lines. And I was like, okay, Steven. Okay. Like, wow. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's, I forgot about that. That's really funny. Yeah, you came ready to learn.
Yeah.
Learning is a choice. And you were like, I'm going to learn. I watched that in you. I want to learn. I want to do better. And I guess, I don't know if I'm allowed to. You tell me if you don't want. But I did say to you, oh, how's the love life going? Because we had some of those conversations. And what did you say your plan for the future here now is?
I said that I realize that there's things that I need to work on. So I don't think it's fair to put myself in a position with somebody else when I'm not comfortable with my growth. And that would throw me off. That would throw her off. And that wouldn't be good.
Wow.
Yep. All I know.
That's
so
very impressive.
Wow.
So you were so cute. You were like, so I'm going to work on myself for the next year. And then the more I grow, the more I feel a relationship, I will be better and more successful in a relationship once I do this work on myself. So how about that, ladies?
So I snaps. That's all I got. Yeah.
So this whole process from the time you started the class to now, I think you all know it's all about learning about yourself. This is growth. This is all about growth. Tessa and Erica, do you have areas of growth that you can now look back and go, this is what I learned. This is how I grew.
I would say yes. kind of like what I mentioned earlier with being able to be secure in the life that I have around me, not jumping and like so eager to reach that text or reach that person. And just kind of being okay with like, oh, I don't need my phone right now. I can live in the moment. I can talk to the people around me rather than reaching out and grabbing for other people. So definitely, definitely more content and more confident and like sure of myself. Mm. So yeah, I definitely
anxiety level.
Definitely so much less than it was. Like even during quarantine and being on lockdown and being so unsure, like for a while we weren't even sure we were going to go back to school. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, my senior year, first semester gone. So definitely being more sure of myself and being more confident eased my anxiety, because I was like, no matter what happens, I'm going to be fine. I'm okay right now. I'm healthy. Wow. I'm happy. So no matter what happens.
Amazing. Erica?
Wow.
Right? She's like, your turn. I would definitely say like it has allowed me to make myself a priority, like in my own mind, because I think as much as the pandemic and then going out with social media, like threw a wrench in plans completely. And I was like, oh, like I mourned my losses, like not having like my final goodbyes to a lot of things, especially like ending senior year that way. But eventually, like it hit me like a couple weeks and months later, I was like, I almost needed that, because I was such the type of person to just go, go, go. I got to get this done. I got to go here. I got to talk to this person. And like, I never gave myself a break. Mm. And I knew those last couple months were just going to be go, go, go. But this pandemic forced me to halt. Like it halted everyone, but like it forced me just to like halt and just kind of exist in my own and like with my family and the people around me and who actually care about me and stuff like that. So like then like I'm almost like part of me is like, I don't want to work anymore. I kind of want to go back to like doing just being existing for a hot minute, because now I'm like, oh, I have to set my alarm. I have to go to work. I'm like, oh, now I have to contact people, but I don't necessarily have to contact people. If they want to contact me, they can.
So,
but like, it forced me to turn off. In a sense.
Let me. So this is we're almost running out of time. But my last question to the three of you is, what do you think individuals and the world might find as a silver lining to this disruption of sort of that hamster wheel world that we were just keep going. You know, this. Levels of expectation, and do you think, or am I throwing this at you again? I'm sorry, but that there are some silver linings in regard to human relations.
I think it definitely made people realize how important face-to-face communication is, because even people are so sick of being in their houses and being on their phones. People are so over it and so sick of it. So I think it's made people realize, and people are starting to realize, that they still need human interaction and human connection every day. So I just hope that when this is all over, it doesn't go back to where we were and people still remember that. Like, oh, remember that time when we couldn't have face-to-face communication? Like, let's not take it for granted and let's focus on that.
Yeah, that was sort of, it was very interesting. I was taking a walk and I saw like four or five teenagers, and they were sitting like in their front yard, and with like one kid was on a car. Nobody had a phone out. No one was even saying anything to each other. They were like, just like, hi, like I'm just in front of another human. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got. The other thing that I think you just pointed out that I've been feeling the same way is we've had a decade of the connection industry saying that technology and digital connections were an equivalence. It's just as good. Mm-hmm. The Zoom thing, it's just like texting, it's just as good as a phone call, right? And so do you, Stephen, I've been fighting going, it's not the same thing. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. So Stephen, what do you think? It's not the real thing.
It's, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It's not close at all. Like the what you get from the interaction you have with another human being outweighs virtual experience. Like that's how we humans were developed from the test of time. So to even think that these tech companies
you're getting angry now.
These Bill, I was listening. I don't know where I heard this, but Bill Gates and these like Zuckerberg, and they don't even send their kids to like, they don't even let their kids use like social media, and they send their kids to like non-tech savvy schools. Mm-hmm. So like, how does
lack
that
of happen? Logic? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was actually in the film Selling Your Soul. That's where you got it from. You learned it from me. But the second part in that film, like your incredulous response was, why isn't this message getting out to the general public? That was my line. That was the line I wrote 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. 8 years. And I'm like, yeah, they just, everyone's going to, you know, schools without any technology, and like that's the elite thing to do, but they're giving us the crap. Like, it's like, we'll give you guys the Kool-Aid, but we're going to give our kids the organic freshly squeezed juice, you know. But yeah. And that's what it was Steve Jobs who would not let his own kids use the iPad. Hello. You know, mm-hmm. But it's okay for everyone else because you're making money off of us. Like, I'm going to go back to Tessa's thing. You're robbing other children of their childhood and getting them mm-hmm. addicted, but not you. And, you know, for years, Mark Zuckerberg always had a piece of tape over his camera on his laptop. And I'm like, oh, okay, because you understand where it's all going, but not the other people. So when are we ever going, I mean, does this help? Does this a podcast like this, is it going to help? Will you guys go out and share? And, you know, is that what is it going to take to correct the unintended consequences of digital socialization? I'm getting tired. Yeah. There's only so much I can do, you guys, you know.
It's hard too when you understand, like, we've been digitally socialized and you have taken it upon yourself to kind of transcend that and like come to understand the consequences of it and try to interact with people who haven't, and just a society that hasn't, because they're still so digital. And then I'm like, I don't know how to talk to people now, because I do know how to actually talk to people, but they don't actually know how to talk to me. That's where I'm at. Like, dating apps are a thing and you have to talk to them online, but I'm like, I'm an in-person kind of gal, but I know you're not. So how's this gonna go? Like, not well, evidently. So that's just where I'm at society-wise. Mm-hmm. But
okay,
we have to get the word out so people can mm-hmm. learn, so then we can all get on the same page that like, it's not anti-technology and anti-everything. It's just like, you have to understand the consequences so then you don't suffer. That's all it is. Just making sure you're happy and healthy and you get everything you need and you feel loved.
So simple. So simple. Well, I don't think I could end on a better note there than that, you know, because again, I know I sound goofy when I'm like, we're communicating to have our needs met. And our number one need is that we all need to be loved and understood. Love. Right. And it's simple. I just don't think people feel comfortable enough speaking in that way. But if it did, it helped you guys, right? I mean, you feel better. Do you feel better?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, we're going to continue on with this. I'm going to have you guys back. You can keep us updated on how life is going. The next conversation that we really might have to get into is the intimacy stuff. So, Stephen, you do your growing. And then you come back and let us know. Let us know what you're learning. I'm really proud of you guys. And I'm glad if it helped in any way. You know, we'll start little, like little minions. We'll get out there and just pass on the word. And just you train people how to treat you, and you train people how to communicate with you. And then we'll just build from there. How's that?
Yeah.
All right.
That works.
Thank you, guys. I love you. Thank you very much.